Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Jared Cassidy here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are scheduled to be joined by Predators forward Ryan Johansson coming up at 7:30. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com at 8 o'clock. And Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee coming up at 8:30 today here on the program. And speaking of Clark Lee and Vanderbilt, lots of buzz about the Tennessee and Vanderbilt game coming up on Saturday, Joe. And the college football playoff rankings released last night, I would describe it, Joe, as slightly less intrigue around here with the college football playoff rankings this week compared to a week ago when Tennessee was still in there. But I digress. Tennessee is actually at number 10 in the college football playoff rankings right now, which apparently has upset some Tennessee fans that LSU and Alabama are ahead of them, even though they've beaten both of them. And I was like, well, they didn't lose to South Carolina by 1,000 points. So there's your reason for that.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the idea that people might be upset by them falling behind them. It was a lock. I mean, it's based on the most recent information. And if you go through all up and down those rankings and you tried to keep it head to head, specific, it'd be impossible to do. I mean, it's, you can't give up 63 to South Carolina and not drop a few spots.
You lose the argument when you do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's any question. But another thing generating headlines last night from the college football playoff rankings, at least here locally, a lot of people picking Vanderbilt to win this game. We heard Robbie Weinstein yesterday on our show says he legitimately believes that Vanderbilt is going to win against Tennessee coming up on Saturday. And last night, Kirk Herbstreit was talking about Tennessee, and he too is picking Vanderbilt to win. Quote, I'm claiming Vandy right now before you're even going to get close to that. Tennessee's not necessarily playing for bowl eligibility, and their opportunity to get into the playoff is gone. They're fighting amongst themselves in the locker room. Things are not good right now in Knoxville. Plus, Hendon Hooker obviously has the injury, so I've got a weird feeling on Vandy this week. This is from Kirk Herbstreit last night. What do you make of Vandy getting a little bit of love last night on the college football playoff show? And I'm looking at the line right now, Joe, on FanDuel Sportsbook. Down to 13.5, so less than two touchdowns for Tennessee is the favorite now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm a little surprised. To see people outright picking Vanderbilt to win. I think it's a much more interesting game, and I'm not ruling anything out at all. Like I don't think it's some completely off, one of the rings of Saturn takes that Vanderbilt could win, but I'm still a little surprised to see like a Herbstreit. We've seen Tennessee play enough this year, in my opinion, to know that, if they execute, they're still a really good team. But the quarterback situation is also, to me, that's the key to the whole thing. And is Joe Milton going to come out and execute that offense? When it's executed, it's tough to deal with. But for anyone not named Georgia, I mean, even they couldn't keep up with South Carolina the other night, but they were fine offensively. But there seems to be some serious momentum along those lines. As you said, Robbie, the line's gone down too. From what did it open at?
It was open at 16.5. It's down to 13.5.
That's a lot of money on Vanderbilt.
Yeah. For sure.
I mean, I get it. Like Tennessee, Tennessee's mindset is certainly, that's what it's just so hard to, Herbstreit referenced fighting in the locker room. Now that makes it almost sound like this is like this torn apart team that can't coexist. If that's the case, then I'll give me Vanderbilt too. Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I think that may be a little bit of an exaggeration of the actual situation.
Well, I am really interested to see what Tennessee's psyche is on Saturday. Like that to me, I talked about it yesterday. That's a lot of what this game comes down to is Tennessee ready to go? Like, can they get up for this game? And I know, some people are listening right now, like, what are you talking about? They're 9-2. It's Vanderbilt. It's an in-state rivalry game. And you got a chance to reach double-digit wins for the first time in the last 20 years. But, there is something when you've been playing for the last few weeks, a spot in the college football playoff, and now that's gone from you. I do wonder, especially at that age, what the psyche looks like for this team, especially based on some of the reports that have come out of the Tennessee camp over the course of the past week. I think that's a real thing heading into this matchup.
I will say that if you want to, honestly, if you're a Tennessee fan and you're worried about the team's psyche, one thing that you should like is seeing someone like Kirk Herbstreit pick Vanderbilt.
That is true.
Because if you want a little boost, you know, let these guys hear that a bunch of people think Vanderbilt's going to beat them. I mean, that might be as much help as you can give the psyche. It's still, you know, I'm trying to think. Oh, it was Trevor Maddich yesterday on Fenton and Company. And I always enjoyed Trevor's analysis. And I think he brought up a really good point about, you know, there's been some comments post Tennessee, South Carolina. And I know sometimes it's like, it's just like stuff people say, and who knows if there's truth to it. You know, it's like people always say, well, it's nothing they did, it's what we didn't do. And sometimes it's like, no, actually, they're just way better than you, kicked your butt. But sure. But also like the we overlooked them kind of idea.
Yeah.
But I actually, so there's been some comments along those lines. I buy into that. I mean, it must be the truth. But as Trevor pointed out, you know, we think of overlooking a team as, when you think about it in the actual game, during the game time, right? But what the impact is the preparation for the week.
Right.
Like the week that Tennessee played Alabama, I guarantee you those guys were studying every stitch of film they could study and trying to find any edge and any little thing they could find. And I'm guessing that last week it was not a great preparation week. And some of it does have to come down to individual players, you know, knowing their assignment, their personnel they're going to face in a game, and you can only do so much for them. And so, I mean, I think that probably manifested itself. So what does that look like this week after that loss with no playoff on the table for the Vols? I mean, I don't know. It's a really good test, I think, of these coaches. And ultimately, I think it's going to be a very good test of Joe Milton.
Well, I think so, too. And I'm interested on the Vandy side of things, the game plan for this week, because you're coming off a game where you're turning on the film. And if you're Clark Lee in Vanderbilt this week, you got to be liking what you see, turning on the film and watching Tennessee's secondary out there trying to defend against South Carolina last week. And we know this, like when Vanderbilt's at their best, I think their running game is a big part of it, whether that's Ray Davis, whether it's Mike Wright, whatever the case may be. But I do wonder if you're Vanderbilt looking at Tennessee's defense, like how tempted are you to maybe throw the ball around a little bit more than you typically would with Mike Wright being your starter. And I do anticipate Mike Wright is the starter. I almost think, you know, and it sounded like from what Robbie Weinstein threw out there yesterday on our show, maybe he's not convinced that A.J. Swan is even going to be healthy enough to play in this game. But to me, like even if he was, based on the way that Mike Wright in this offense and this team has performed the last 2 weeks, like Mike Wright has to be the starting quarterback on Saturday, right?
I think so, yeah. And I do, there were some encouraging comments from Clark about you know, AJ's progress physically, but yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, maybe Clark will come on here at 8:30 and just flat out just tell us Mike Wright starting.
Maybe
I mean,
so.
It's worth a shot. But yeah, I would think so. I don't see how. I mean, Robbie, yeah, good point on, you know, Swan. It gives you a little bit more consistency and efficiency downfield, and you want to hit this team downfield. But Mike Wright has also made a lot of big throws the last couple weeks. Obviously, he also has the element of he can go, you know, he can go 60, 70 yards on you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and really. So, yeah, I just feel like, look, he is a leader of the team. It's pretty amazing to me that – it's impressive to me, you know, that he can hang in the way he hung in and be ready. Yeah, he's over there signaling when AJ's in the game, and now he comes in and he does this, and you know, delivers these two huge wins. I think you have to ride that wave if you're Vanderbilt.
Well, I think so too. And you know, from Tennessee's standpoint defensively, it's going to be pretty hard to be as bad as they were defensively last week. I mean, that's going to be a tough bar to clear. But obviously, your secondary and your coverage is a problem, and it's been a problem at different times this year. And I do wonder, coming off a game like that, how does the secondary respond? Are they just broken right now, or is there some sort of fix that they've got heading into this game? Because if there's not, this is going to get pretty interesting on Saturday night.
Well, look, and Vanderbilt has deficiencies, of course, and they've got there's still a lot of work ahead to, you know, to get more competitive in a lot of spots, including their secondary. But they got some dudes catching the ball. You know, they've got some guys who can hurt you downfield. I think it's one of the best aspects of the team. So that from that perspective, this matchup is not great for Tennessee. And yeah, it's a great question. Is there other mass, you know, changes? It's just, I mean, I feel like there's some talent back there. You know, at safety, for example, Flowers and McCullough, those are good program guys. I mean, they've been starters from day one.
Yeah.
You know, they've made a lot of plays, and they're leaders, and they communicate, but they also can be had. It just, like, you have to have a higher talent level there, and you certainly have to have it at corner. So it's going to be interesting if they mix things around. Do they stick with the same guys? They've had so many different combinations, both because of injury and performance this year. And they have some guys who there are some high hopes for some of these guys who haven't really played a lot this year. Is Saturday where we'll see, you know, some different names out there? I don't know. All I know is the whole key to Tennessee this year, getting stops defensively and being okay in the back end, is because they've gotten after the quarterback. When they've gotten after, and they've done that in a lot of games. They just didn't at all last game. And so they have to get back to that. Whatever it looks like in the back end, if there's no pass rush, you know, then, and of course it's a different deal rushing Mike Wright, because you got to make sure you maintain that integrity with your lanes, or he will burn you quickly.
We'll take more of your thoughts on Tennessee and Vanderbilt. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. What do you make of the love that Vanderbilt is getting heading into this matchup? 615-737-1025. We'll have more on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
There are going to be certain things that if we do against this offense, we'll be positioned for success. And if we don't versus offense, you're positioned for disaster. And so capping the shots, being patient enough to force them to line it up and snap it over and over again. I think if you do that, you're going to be able to build to a stop, or you're going to have an opportunity to win in the red zone. You know, teams that allow this offense through the tempo personality and through their design, and their design's really good, to become explosive and to score explosive touchdowns. You know, you get involved in a back and forth shootout, and I don't know that that's the formula for us, you know, to think about how we as a program, you know, come away with an important win on Saturday.
That was Clark Lee yesterday on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Clark Lee will join us on the program this morning at 8:30, so looking forward to that conversation with him. We'll get his thoughts on the matchup against Tennessee coming up on Saturday here in Nashville. Taking your thoughts right now, 615-737-1025. William from Madison on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, looks like it's going to rain the whole game, which I think would help Vanderbilt. And, Joe, I'm looking at the forecast right now. There could be a lot of rain on Saturday night as this thing comes to a kickoff here in Nashville. So maybe some weather factoring in this matchup as well, which I agree with William. I think that probably helps Vanderbilt in this matchup.
Yeah, I do too. And I look, Tennessee, of course, huge part of this offense is their ability to run the ball. So they can still have running success as well. But if you make them one dimensional, then maybe they can have a little less success. I mean, you know, the thing is with Vanderbilt, you still want to be able to throw the ball some. I mean, I think Tennessee, if you flip it around and say, well, if Tennessee doesn't have to worry about getting beat downfield, like, they can stop Vanderbilt from running. Like, Ray Davis is a good player. And Vanderbilt, to me, that's one of the most impressive things this year, is at times how they've been able to impose themselves and run the football at some of these, you know, talented defenses. But if you're Tennessee and you take that element out of worrying about the ball going over your head, or of Mike Wright getting hot, throwing the ball and getting into a rhythm, and you just have to worry about stopping their run game, even though he's part of that run game and that can be challenging, I think that the Tennessee's defense would sign up for that at least.
Got a texture that says, if I'm Clark Lee, I'm telling Wright to keep throwing the ball to wherever Kamal Haddon is covering. He played like garbage and was chirping the whole South Carolina game. Coming from a Volunteer fan, Vandy is getting hot at the right time and has a real chance of beating Tennessee. This is from a texter on the text line. Was a lot of talking from Kamal Haddon going on Saturday.
A lot of talking about Kamal Haddon, too. But, yeah, there was just a few times where the cameras picked him up, and it's like, what, dude? There's nothing to talk about right now. There is nothing to talk about right now, Kamal. Now, I think that, like, Haddon, there's a guy who at times has been, I think has been their best corner at times this year. Like, if you say, who is the best cornerback on the team? Even right now, through the whole season, I'd probably go with him. Would you go with someone different?
No, I'd probably go him.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
I was about to say, that's not good.
Yeah, that's the problem. So, yeah, that will be interesting. If it's rain that actually is prohibitive of passing games, it probably is better for Vanderbilt to have an ugly slog, like Clark Lee said. Like a shootout type game is not what they want. They're not keeping up in that. But I'm not sure it's a total edge Vanderbilt on that either.
Well, and I will say there's an interesting part of this that a lot of Tennessee fans are talking about this week. And I think Josh Heupel was even asked about it on Monday. Like, keeping in mind, Taven Jackson's hurt and he's not going to be able to play in this game. So he's not the backup quarterback. Gaston Moore is. So if you're Tennessee, you can't really afford for Joe Milton to get hurt in this game with Hendon Hooker being down and Taven Jackson being down. So how, I guess, involved do you want him to be in the running game? How much risk are you comfortable taking there? Now, Josh Heupel was asked about it, and he essentially said, like, oh, we just got to worry about winning the game. We got to go out there, and Joe Milton's got to be as involved as he needs to be in the game. So, I mean, I agree with that, but it's also one of those things where if you lose Joe Milton in this game, all of a sudden you're on your fourth-string quarterback, and that's not a great place to be.
Yeah, you've also got Navy Shuler. So you got Gaston Moore and Navy Shuler as your option. A great name and great lineage of Tennessee football, but no, that's not ideal. But now I also feel like, the thing with Joe Milton, I mean, he's a very different kind of runner from Hendon Hooker. Huge physical. It's more like almost like Josh Allen as a runner. Like, he's not super quick or a quick starter. Once he gets rolling, he's a problem to tackle. And I mean, he can build up speed and be fast. I mean, the play he got hurt on last year was that about 60-yard run against Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
So he can put together some straight line speed, but he's not like elusive, shifty like Hendon Hooker is. And so I think next year, like next year when he's a starting quarterback, I think there's probably less QB run stuff with him. But that's the thing. What if it is a sloppy game and it's hard to throw the ball and you've got to show something else and make it a little more difficult on the defense? You know, do you get him going in that way? I don't know, because yeah, you're right. You lose him and now you're really in trouble.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Dale from Columbia. Dale, thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's up, guys? And happy Turkey Day to everybody there.
You too.
Thanks. I'm still on cloud nine that my Gamecocks took out Tennessee last Saturday night. I'm still in disbelief, but that's a good disbelief. Talking about Vandy, Tennessee, I think as long as Milton stays healthy, doesn't have to leave the game, they won't have that attack that they had up and down the field. They had Hooker, but I think he definitely has an arm, and I think he's a pretty decent quarterback. Got a good head on his shoulders. I don't see them scoring 45-50 like they're used to, but I don't see Vandy's secondary stopping those wide receivers who are due for a big game after the other night. I don't see Vandy's defensive backs containing them the whole game. Now, Vandy can run the ball. Ray Davis, he's a tough little nut. My pick would be Tennessee by 10, but I think they'll bounce back and Vol Nation hang in there. Tennessee's back. Don't like to admit it, but they are, and they'll be back next year. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks
for the call, Dale. Appreciate it. I mean, that's the other part that Dale brings up that's interesting, Joe. I mean, the wide receivers in this game, how does the weather affect them? But if it's just if you're lined up in single coverage, which Tennessee finds himself in a lot with the way that they run their offense, you know, I do think that Jalin Hyatt and Cedric Tillman and Brew McCoy are going to be able to get open pretty consistently in this game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, like, I mean, it kind of, if you go to what Clark Lee was saying there in the comment when we came in, and I think a lot of coaches think this way, like Clark Lee said, you have to have the patience to let them take snap after snap. To me, that reads as, you know what, when they do those switch releases and combo routes, like, the one of them's a comeback, one of them's a deep shot, like, just don't give them the deep shot.
Right.
Give up the comeback and then, you know, try to tackle them. And then they only get 12 to 15 yards over and over again, as opposed to the one shot for top. But again, every coach they've played this year has said that, right? Like, no one's like, well, yeah, let's take that comeback away, you know, because I mean, so it's all easier said than done. But that's to me is a big key in this game is can you just make them have like 7, 8, 9 play drives. And then do you tip a pass at the line? Does Joe Milton misfire in the red zone? They have to kick a field goal. Can you do that over and over again? Because if Tennessee gets like even 2, 3 quick hit, you know, explosive, you know, 40 yard plus touchdowns, I don't see how Vanderbilt can possibly stay close or, you know, have a chance to win this game in the fourth quarter.
Coming up next, we're scheduled to be joined by Predators forward Ryan Johansson. Looking forward to that conversation. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from OrderGreen.com.
I do thank you very much, Robbie, because OrderGreen.com is the nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. You're talking edibles, gummies, vapes, flowers, high-quality THC, CBD products that have been very helpful to me, both mentally and physically with inflammation. When I get out there, a little weekend warrior action on the hoops court, a lot of friends and family who have found OrderGreen.com and big fans of OrderGreen.com. Their team has extensive knowledge of all their products, so you as a customer know you're getting the highest of quality from reputable providers who also provide nationwide same-day delivery right to your doorstep. If you get a shipment of gummies with a subscription, you get 25% off each of those shipments. And if you use promo code JOE20, you get 20% off your first purchase at OrderGreen.com.
Make sure you join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell this Friday for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are scheduled to be joined by Predators forward Ryan Johansson here in the next few minutes. Joe Preds taking on the Red Wings tonight. Almost said it, Joe Louis Arena. Man, what a throwback that would have been. It is not Joe Louis Arena anymore, but it is Little Caesars.
I missed that old barn.
A lot of people, there's differing opinions on the Joe. Some people miss it a ton. Some people say, man, that thing was a dump, and I'm glad that it's gone. But I think maybe it could be a little bit of a both.
Yeah, look, was it a dump? Kind of. I mean, compared to some places, it certainly didn't have modern amenities. I know that, like, my friends who, you know, who, like, covered the Red Wings hated the press box and all that stuff. But, no, man, the place was amazing. I mean, any old barn like that, like, look, you can look at Memorial Gym for Vanderbilt, and I've heard some people say, oh, no, you know, more modern. But no. Fix it up, yes. Keep it updated. I mean, I've sat in there. You know, where like the seat I was sitting in basically just started to collapse, you know, when I went like and took the kids just to go to a game. Like, you want to preserve those places, and I wish they would have with the Joe. I've not been to the Little Caesars, and
it looks great.
It looks like it's very nice and very modern and all that stuff. I think there's a difference. It's like with Nissan, you know, although I love the outdoor football, Nissan is not it's not really a historic place.
Right.
I mean, it's still relatively new, so get the new place with all the amenities. That's a great call. But when you have places like Memorial Gym, like Joe Louis Arena, Tiger Stadium, these places that you go back decades and decades and all the things they've seen. To me, that's why we'll never see Wrigley go away or Fenway go away. You got to preserve places like that. But they didn't.
Well, I was actually thinking about this when I was in Neyland a few weeks ago. Like, just the older stadium, how many of those are going to really be around as we continue to move forward here? Like, college football, I think, is a little bit different. Like, I think you'll see more in college football. But, like, you know, places like Lambeau probably always be there for the most part. Madison Square Garden, things like that. But I do wonder, like, as we continue to evolve, like, with the sports in this country and the sports viewing experience, like, I wonder how many of these older stadiums will continue to be a thing when a lot of the sports watching experience nowadays is about, you know, modern conveniences and things of the like.
Yeah, well, and that's why you're at least going to see attendance go down. I mean, even at Neyland, they've done some things, right? Like, they're doing the party deck thing, just trying to just get different ways to get people in there. They know that, like, look, if you've got a season like this season, then you can fill up everything. Like, the Missouri game, I was blown away. Like, I understand the position they're in, but I was still like, this is a noon game against Missouri, and, like, the upper, you know, you were there, like, it was packed. You know,
oh, yeah.
Totally full. Like, so then, and it's good to have a place like that in that situation. But, you know, they're 8-4 next year or whatever, late season November game. You're not going to have that, you know. It is a really interesting question. And some of them are going to be preserved. But I'm like, one that I'm stunned that is not going to be is like Soldier Field, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, they went so far as to turn it into a freaking spaceship a few years ago to add all the amenities. I mean, it's right there on the lake. Talk about a place with history.
Oh, yeah.
And it's there. I believe that's done, right? Like, I think that's in place. Like, they are moving, like, to the suburbs or somewhere.
Yeah,
else.
What is it, Arlington Heights stadium or something like that? Yeah.
That blows my mind. I cannot believe that's happening. But if that place can go away, then it's probably a short list. But I think the ones you hit, MSG, Lambeau, like I said, Wrigley, Fenway, there's some that have to be untouchable.
Chris on the text line says, Joe, what is it with you and seats collapsing in the studio and in Memorial as well? Got to get to the bottom of it.
Well,
sometimes we do get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, exactly. I will say that the last week or so, I have not been sticking to salads, which is unfortunate. So that may have something to do with it.
Well, I was gonna ask you, like, leading into, we get a lot of texts on the text line, really every week, asking about your weight loss journey, that update, and how that's going. It's the tricky part of the year, Joe. The holiday season, and in my opinion, the greatest culinary day of the year coming up tomorrow. How are we doing on that front? What's your excitement level to dig in there tomorrow?
Yeah, well, I haven't weighed myself in a while, but it probably wouldn't go well. I mean, you know, to me, the whole part of this is like when there's something you really want to eat, you eat it still, right? Like, you try to be smart, sure, healthy, and all that stuff. So tomorrow, I'm going to eat the food.
Yeah, why would you not?
You, but yeah, exactly. So, yeah, look, my goal is not going to be reached. If I'm in the 30s and trending and holding steady, you know, at the end of the year, then I'll be happy with that.
I got a text from John in Thompson Station on the text line. Says, who is replacing Zach Sanford? If you missed it, according to Elliot Friedman yesterday, the Predators did place Zach Sanford on waiver. So, Joe, I talked about it yesterday. I don't really know why Zach Sanford was ever in the lineup, and apparently the Predators agreed because now he's on waivers. And I am interested to see, is there a corresponding move that follows with that? Is somebody coming up? Are they just over the Zach Sanford experiment, which happens sometimes in the NHL? I'm interested to see what the corresponding move could be on that front.
Is there any chance it's Tomasino?
I don't think so, because I think he's hurt right now. I don't think
he's banged up, so that would not be it. Yeah. Yeah, it did almost. I saw him put on waivers. I'm like, wow, Robbie Stanley is really, you know, really influential in this town when it comes to hockey moves.
But yeah, maybe so. Well, maybe I just need to Maybe they should have held on to him. I mean, I blasted Austin Hooper, and I blasted Princeton Fant. Both those guys turned into just all-stars, apparently, after that happened. Maybe when Zach Sanford gets picked up by somebody, he's going to be a 35-goal scorer.
Maybe, you know. I mean, there's been look at Freddie Hockey, yeah, you know, after leaving here, and some other guys who have gone on, and Fiala did pretty good things. I don't think Sanford is, you know, quite in the Fiala realm. Maybe you should rip the Tennessee secondary a little more this week.
Well, maybe so. Well, look, let me just tell you something. If they are even approaching as bad as they were last Saturday night against Vanderbilt, I don't even know what to say. Like, I agree with you. There's been a lot of chatter about Tim Banks this week as DC, and I understand it. When you go up 63 to South Carolina, there's going to be chatter about the defensive coordinator. I get all that. You know, I don't really buy into that. Like, I think he's pretty good, and I think there's a talent deficiency that they've got on the defensive side of the ball right now. I will say, though, if they just look terrible again coming up on Saturday in the defensive, you know, coverage part of it, I may start to look my head at Tim Banks and be like, what are you guys doing back there? Like, what exactly is going on back there?
Yeah. When you're as bad as they were last week, then I think everything has to be looked at. And people automatically go to coordinators, which I totally get. I would say that just in terms of other than, like, they didn't appear to be that prepared or focused or intense or all that stuff. Like, it kind of speaks to just thinking they were going to show up and win. I would say you probably wanted to be more aggressive in that game. You know, maybe a little earlier, just say, recognize, got to be. That is where, I mean, Jeremy Banks, that's probably the thing. He's good against the run, and he's a really good blitzer. And so they did miss that from him. But now, look, this is a big week for Tim Banks too, and that defense to, respond. I mean, that's just an utter humiliation. I mean, you didn't give up 63 to Alabama or another just high flying offense. You gave up 63 to what's been a below average offense.
No question about it. So, obviously, doesn't look like Ryan Johansson's joining us this morning. So, we'll move on. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We've got the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. This is 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Gonna get to you, girl. Step by step.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road. The pre-Thanksgiving edition of the Rex Rant. I turn things over to you. Is Joe Rex Road on mute for the first time today?
God dang it.
Thought we were going to make it the whole show. Didn't even make it halfway through.
So close.
It was one of those, I hate, again, why does the Zoom sometimes do it where you can't click on the lower icon and you have to go and hit like the little arrow at the top?
Because I feel like there's some excuses that are being made on the pre-Thanksgiving edition of the Rex Rant.
All right. Well, apologize for that. Speaking of my body, which again, I think should be a topic probably more often on this show. We really want to get the city of Nashville engaged. I want to talk today about food, because I think I'm the, in advance of Thanksgiving, of course, because I think I am the least picky eater. I think I'm the least picky eater I know. So let's go through the foods that I like. Now, as a kid, there were some things I didn't like. For example, as a kid, I didn't like tomatoes. I didn't like onions. I love both of them now. In certain contexts, like, I'm not going to eat an onion like an apple, like some people do, okay? But I cook a lot with onions and tomatoes and even have them in a lot of things. I love mushrooms. I love olives, all kinds of olives. All meats, all ways to prepare a chicken, every part of the pig, every part of the cow. Now, granted, I have said before, other than the liver, But honestly, I would even be willing now, just like with the onions and tomatoes, I'd be willing now to try liver and onions from a place that specializes in it just to see, you know? I mean, I hate it as a kid. I love raw fish of all kinds of sushi. Anything you want to throw at me, throw some squid at me, some octopus, whatever. Every bean you – I like freaking lima beans, okay? I like all beans. All vegetables. Zucchini, yes. Cooked carrots, sure. Beets. I eat beets like they are candy.
What?
Okay. Pickled beets, they are in your local grocery store. Now I got into this because Katie's grandpa had a garden in Pennsylvania and he would can his own, he'd do dilly beans and he'd also do pickled beets, which at first I was like, what? And then I ate them. I was like, this is one of the greatest things I've ever had. I load up salads with pickled beets. I will sit there with a jar of pickled beets and just eat the whole thing, like gone. Anchovies, yep. Put them on a pizza. If you've ever had, if you've never had a Caesar salad, which is, by the way, the dressing is partially made from anchovies, with anchovies on it, dude, amazing stuff. All desserts. And that's, I mean, honestly, even banana pudding, I think it's overrated, but I'll eat banana pudding. I'll eat all desserts. All fruits. Kiwi, bananas, plums, peaches, blueberries, blackberries, cranberries too. And by the way, I like cranberry juice a lot. I mean, I can't think of anything that I don't like, but cranberry sauce is absolute crap and does not belong on your table on Thanksgiving or at any time ever of a year. It is absolute cheeks. And if there's one thing that I would like us to do for Thanksgiving this year is all of us agree to just not even bring it out. It's just waste space. Put another boat of gravy in that place. Put more rolls, put more turkey, ham, anything. This cranberry sauce is a scourge to the table. I don't get it. It makes no sense. It's gross. And that's both forms. You got like the fancier kind, which is a little more tolerable. My dad used to love it. He'd just take that can and he's just a big lump of cranberry glob, like cranberry gel, you know, and just eat it. And I'm like, why would you waste a single calorie on Thanksgiving on that crap? That's it. I mean, that is the one food that I have, that and liver, that I have a problem with. And it's just too bad that on Thanksgiving, we have to ruin it every year with cranberry sauce.
We don't ruin it.
But it has no place.
This is like a Jared Stillman level take from you, and I'm trying to determine where exactly it ranks on your worst takes of all time. It's near the top. What's wrong with cranberry sauce? It's awesome. You just said you like cranberry juice. What's the difference?
I do. I don't know. But for whatever reason, for me, when it's in solid form, and again, like cranberries, normal cranberries. Yeah, cranberry juice, good. I don't know why, but the solid form of that, maybe it's just, I mean, some of it, look, it's not like it's going to make me gag if I eat it. I just don't like it. I never would choose to eat it. I guess maybe it's just like all these other things. I think you and I are both huge Thanksgiving fans.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's great. Even like, I'm not big on the turkey white meat. I stick with the dark meat. And someone asked in the text line earlier, ham or turkey? I'm ham for sure. Team ham, but fine. It's turkey. Fine. Mashed potatoes. I mean, a good stuffing. Oh, man. Macaroni, I mean, all yams, all the things, okay? They're all, to me, elite, and they belong together.
Correct.
And then you make the turkey sandwich, you know, that night, and with to put the gravy on it. I mean, all of it goes, this stupid glob of cranberry, like, people act like it needs to be part of this. No, it doesn't. There's no need. What does it do? Like, what does it add? How does it complement or enhance the meal?
I just think it's really good. I enjoy the cranberry sauce. Now, I'm with you from this standpoint. Like, I can't say to you that, you know, in April, running around, I'm like, man, you know what I really want right now? Some cranberry sauce. And I will say, like, most everything else on the Thanksgiving plate, I can eat at any time of the year. I think it's probably underutilized. Cranberry sauce, I probably wouldn't put in that category. But I enjoy it the one time a year I eat it. Actually, I eat it at Christmas, too, so twice.
So you do the can or like the lumpy kind?
There's both. There are options for both. I typically will have anywhere from two to four plates, and I usually pick up both.
Yeah, it's just, but see, you just said it there. You kind of just agreed with me.
No, I didn't.
Like, you never even think about it. All those other things that we eat for Thanksgiving would be, I mean, they're always good. They're always worthwhile. But you don't think about this. This is just sort of this, somewhere along the way, it got thrown in. I have no idea the origins of cranberry being part of this, but it's like this obligatory, well, I guess throwing the cranberry. I mean, some people don't like pumpkin pie. But to me, that's also an essential part of. And by the way, I didn't mention green bean casserole, which is hugely crucial to me. But even pumpkin pie, to me, throw some whipped cream on it, great. Okay, that's Thanksgiving. This is just, it's obligatory, and I just can't believe. Like, I'm really counting on the text line, some support on this, you know?
Well, Rob from Clarksville on the text line says, yes, Joe, I just made a face at my in-laws because it was the first time I had it, and it's gross. It's just different, Robbie. It's gross. It makes me gag. This is from Rob from Clarksville on the text line. First off, the first time you've had it, what have you been doing at Thanksgiving?
Good for you. And Chip from Mount Juliet is all with me, too. So, but I do have Dennis, and I think there's some of this. Dennis, not a huge fan of the can, but a homemade cranberry sauce is awesome. Look, I just haven't had. First of all, I have to admit I don't touch it anyway. I have tried homemade, and I like, okay, I just wasted those few inches on my plate. Like, give me some more mashed potatoes. But I mean, I get that, and I figured that some people would say that, and maybe there's a particular recipe that would change my mind. Someone says a little bit of cranberry sauce with Southern style dressing is next level. What does that mean?
I don't really know what they mean by the Southern style dressing, but I'm good with putting. Sometimes I will put cranberry sauce like over the top of my turkey. It's a good combo.
Yeah, I see that, and that's just absolute. That's a crime. You're actually committing a crime. Rebecca says, "Yeah, festive color. Yeah, I get that, but I mean, come on.
Spice
I mean,
up a little
we
bit.
we can put some flowers on the table. You're not going to eat them." She says, I have a great cranberry salad that will change your opinion. Happy Turkey Day. Thank you, Robbie and Michelle, for making my mornings enjoyable. I assume you mean me, too.
Remember, no, Joe. thank you, Robbie and Michelle. Joe Poundsand.
Joe, go sit in the corner with some cranberry sauce and shut up.
Jared Cassidy, right. Your thoughts on cranberry sauce?
Oh, man, I'm with you, Robbie. It's a staple, man. It has to be there, either canned or, however, homemade. Yeah, give me the cranberry. It's a good little addition. Now, Joe, I think you're messing up because you're putting it on your main plate. That's the problem. Get a side plate, get an additional one, and then try it.
Well, so if I put it on a different plate, I won't think it sucks?
I mean, you might think it sucks, but I mean, you're complaining about not taking up the space. Like, give that space to something else. Put it on the dessert plate.
Yeah, man.
It belongs in there. Yeah, you don't have to eat a lot. You know, one or two little bites, that's enough. Get you by for next year, right?
I'm damn near 50. I am never going to eat this crap again. So let me just make that clear. But I hear what you're saying. If I get another plate, then I'm like, oh, wow, more stuffing? Yeah, there we go. It's like one of those little motorcycles with the side, you know.
Sidecar?
Yeah, it's a little sidecar, you know. Just load that up with more green bean casserole.
John on the text line says, I'd rather have cranberry sauce over olives, which I think is somehow a shot at both you and me. I like it.
Look, if I could weave olives somehow into a Thanksgiving recipe, I would. So maybe terrible. I'll try to think about that next year.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll continue to look ahead at the Titans and the Bengals. Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com will join us. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.